Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the football podcast number 175. And, well, every once or twice in football season, something special and rare happens, doesn't it? A moment you remember. And this is one of those, because not only have we got Jerome for another week.
Oh, my God, look at this.
Here he is. Yeah. Bloody hell. But we have got the joy, and some of our listeners will be familiar with, of course, the wonderful Cravat Nick, as I believe he was dubbed once.
Good afternoon. And it's not actually his first name.
Cravat. It is now. And it, I still think it sounds like a town in Poland. But he's also brought with him Si, who's also seconded from our Northern office. So we've got three Northerners on the show. It's fantastic.
So I will be doing all of the interpreting for our listeners, as, to be honest, it's going to sound like a foreign podcast.
And of course, we must specify, just to highlight how southern the show normally is, Dan has got a plastic pink thing wrapped around his pinky, presumably to aid in drinking tea.
No. Drinking the shandy out of a lady's glass.
my
is
broken,
that hairband?
My
as well?
Broken finger.
No. You have a pink hairband on
the wrist. Africa!
And your tampons have just dropped out your purse.
This is a good start.
It's good to have you boys.
Glad to be back.
We've also got Andy and Chris. It's seven people on the podcast. I'm not sure we've ever had that many. Deluxe edition.
It's a super show.
For the end of the season. And speaking of super shows, what about Real Madrid last night?
Wow. Yeah.
Awesome. Mm. Sergio Ramos with an early double. I mean, the marking was fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Like that first header at the back post, where, I mean, that is, for the listeners that don't know, that is Dan Silva's bread and butter. I mean, that is where I position
Leaving
myself. No. The leap at the back stick, it's what you dream of. I mean, he had a free run at the ball, and he's gone, and powering ahead. That should not happen in a Champions League semi-final.
Magnificent knee slide.
Not as early as it did as well.
Magnificent knee slide. Oh.
And then some magnificent slides to attempt to get sent off later in the game, seemingly. Oh, what was he thinking?
I mean, you saw Xabi Alonso's face when he realised what he'd done. Remember when they were 2-0 up, 3-0 up on aggregate?
Very handsome face.
Very handsome face. This is not doing me any favours. The 2-0 up, 3-0 up on aggregate, Bayern need 4 goals, and Xabi Alonso goes in for that. No, you don't.
No.
And he's done that, and he's ruled himself out, and Ramos doing the same. I mean, it was a crunch in tackle, but what on earth were they thinking doing that when you're that comfortable in front in a semi-final?
There's a difference, obviously, the way Keane played it, and, I mean, to be fair, with Keane, how he, and Scholes as well, in the 99 title, and people...
Yeah.
Very unfair, it seemed unjust. I mean, that was just foolishness, wasn't it? When you think about Keane's, he was done in the heat of the battle, he picked himself up, he scored the goal for it. You know, got to Juventus and pulled him through on his own. I mean, those were just silly, billy challenges.
The closest I can think to it was in 2009 when Darren Fletcher got sent off in the very last minute. But that wasn't really a foul. That was the difference. He actually won the ball. It was stupid to even go in for that. Just let him score the goal in the 6-yard box. Obviously, if Darren Fletcher had been there, we would have beaten that Barcelona side, and Pep Guardiola never would have happened. But, you know.
It was interesting that he was still on the pitch after half time as well, you know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You're 2-0 up, they need 4 goals.
You do need him fit for the final, don't you? When, you know, whoever you're going to play against, he's you know, definitely...
Yeah, he's one of the best centre-halves in the world. Although, when you can bring on Rafa Varane for him, I mean, you're not going to have some bad replacements, should he be?
I haven't really seen him play, to be honest, but
he's a good little player. Very good little player.
One thing worth a mention as well, and you're probably just going to explode with excitement here, Dan, but when Bill... Put in a shift defending last night.
Yeah.
Put in a shift.
I mean, that was it. They set up 4-4-2, which is Ancelotti's done a couple of times when they've expected a 4-3-3. Because you're looking at, Di Maria in the middle, playing as a three in the middle, it's not his strong point at all. So he's looked at it and played in 4-4-2. I mean, it did the job. And you're right. I mean, I was having this conversation where after Bale scored the winner in the cup final. And I was having a chat with a mate, and there was another Liverpool lad who was sitting with us, and I was like, I'm so chuffed for Bale, like it was a fantastic goal, I'm really chuffed. He's like, oh, fucking typical Spurs fan licking Bale's arse. He's
that's
gone
bullshit,
yeah forget
that.
It forget
that's
it
yeah that's
it's
bullshit
great to see a and British player
no, yeah.
And he said after the game that's exactly why he joined Real
and the cup final his goal in the cup final was the turning point, I think, for Bale. But really, to kind of say, I'm the real deal, this is it, I am really
Do you know, I think he's already done that, though. I think that was
he's
it.
Had a good season.
That's a cherry
but that was
on
a
top.
No, but that was the defining moment. But he was like, I was like, no, I'm sorry, but wouldn't it be in an ideal world, wouldn't it be nice if every player that left your club, you actually went, do you know what, I really hope that he goes on and does well. Because there's so many players that leave clubs and you think, oh,
there's very few players, certainly moving between top clubs, that go on to get good reactions. We were talking earlier in the season how strange it was that Mata went back to, or when he goes back to Stamford Bridge, he'll probably get a great ovation.
Oh, without a doubt, because he left with dignity. And
well, it's all to do with how you leave, surely.
Well, yeah. And I'll tell you the one I do think, Carlos Tevez, when he left West Ham for United, he got booed the first few times he went back there, and then as soon as he joined City, he started cheering him again. So it can work in a strange way.
He scored his first goal in Europe in like 5 years.
It was his first goal since he was at United. He never scored
Tevez,
for City in Europe.
He's probably going to retire to his own little island or whatever. We never have one club who'll just go, oh yeah, remember when Fernando Tevez used to play and this and that. There's no one who will romanticise.
Well, Corinthians.
Yeah, his hometown.
He went to Corinthians, but even then he fell out. He went to a press conference wearing a United shirt about a year before he joined West Ham because he wanted to leave. I mean, Boca Juniors maybe where he started because he's a hometown boy and he says he wants to go back. But even, in fact, the first time I ever saw him play, Boca Juniors played a friendly at Old Trafford. He got sent off for throwing a punch at Paul Scholes in 2002. Terrible game. Roger Moore was the guy who came out and shook hands with all the players on the pitch beforehand. He had a United shirt with 007 on the back.
Oh, of course.
Remember that? Wow. It was a good day.
I reckon he probably had white bell-bottom trousers and... And jumps over four crocodiles and then, to the
and then him and Giggsy went out on the pull after the game.
Yeah.
I've got one as well about obviously all the talk with Suarez for Madrid in this sort of season. Where's he going to fit in? I mean, Benzema's obviously the most vulnerable player. Benzema was doing a hell of a job. I think
Benzema's a different player.
He's still a hell of a player, you know.
But why would Suarez leave Liverpool now? He's got Champions League football. He's got the platform that he wants to keep his career going the way it's going.
But he's got a chance to win the Champions League with Madrid.
Yeah. Liverpool have won the Champions League more recently than Madrid have.
They're not winning it without Suarez.
And that's like saying Nottingham Forest have won it more recently than Benfica. I mean, it doesn't mean much.
Do you know what?
I really hope
Benfica get through. I really hope Benfica win the cup this year, by the way.
Why does Suarez want to leave? He's an untrustworthy foreigner.
Yeah, yeah.
He's an untrustworthy foreigner.
What a statement.
like we said, this is going to be a very northern
deeply
show.
Deeply ironic.
Yeah. Suarez, he's not shown himself in the past to be necessarily that committed to Liverpool. Last summer he was making eyes at Arsenal. Yeah. If they come in with a load of money, and all due respect to Liverpool, they're not going to be one of the favourites of the Champions League next season. They might do well.
They're not going to be one of the favourites.
Well, they're going to be seeded third or fourth in their group.
Are a game away from being in the final. Were they favourite this season?
No, but there's a lot of it, Anne. But first and foremost, Real Madrid's a better club than Liverpool. Like, currently, it is a bigger club. They've got more chance of winning big trophies than at Liverpool.
Yeah.
Who have done
and
well
it's
this
a
season,
culture that will enjoy more living in a city that's beautiful. Not that Liverpool's not a nice city. The weather will be nice. Though,
and I think he has actually... I think that idolisation has had an effect on him this season. I think it has.
I tell you what, he is a foreign interview with one of those lost in translation interviews away from sulking,
Real is the most horrible native dish of any city. I won't
Real Madrid
eat that.
Come and sniff. He is literally one misquoted foreign interview away from that. That's it. I'm telling you.
You know what? Part of me agrees with you, but I do think Liverpool is a pretty special football club.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
And actually, if you're idolised by those fans, I don't think there's any difference between being idolised there and any other club in the world.
It's not about being idolised, it's about winning major trophies.
He's potentially
got a busy agent as well.
Potentially two games away from winning
what,
the
one of the Neville
that's a pretty major trophy.
But they've overachieved this season.
Hold on, we've got a Nick.
It's a very small story. I saw Suarez in Liverpool about 12 months ago, and he's pretty big, you know. He's bigger than you expect. He's on a titch. He's quite a big lad, yeah.
I expect him to be a bit like Chris, really.
Skinny.
Good looking.
Good looking. Excellent boots.
Can I just go back to Benfica really quickly, as it was? I didn't realise that they were cursed. I didn't realise that the last time they won the European Cup, The then manager got sacked the next season and said, and put a curse on the club and said, you will not win a trophy like this again for 100 years.
And the current manager turned into a donkey.
No, but they've lost seven finals.
Yeah.
Since seven then, they have lost seven finals.
Lovely work, Dan.
But I mean, you know.
Dan Silver,
who put the curse on him? So who is this manager? Is he a black voodoo magic?
He actually said, like, he cursed them and they have lost seven finals in a row. I think that's.
Was it a few years ago? Was it Birmingham when Barry Fry was manager? And they had to get a witch
part of the ritual with that, Barry Fry had to do a piss in each corner of the pitch.
That's what happened at Brighton. Maybe they thought that they had to dispel the curse and had to take a shit on the floor.
Yeah.
Has Yuri Geller ever been spotted at a Benfica final?
Yeah.
Maybe he's been moving balls and stuff.
Well, Benfica have won as much of as Exeter have in Europe since that, so maybe Yuri Geller was
there. Barry Fry's doing now. Maybe he's going around football grounds pissing in each
other. No, Barry, not here anymore, mate.
He's just doing pubs in Peterborough now. But I can just picture some Villa fan, probably Jerome actually, going, oh yeah, I'm a witch doctor, yeah, you've got to go and have a piss in the corner. Oh yeah, and by the way, during the game you've got to take a shit in the dugout. Oh, and by the way, throw up on Kevin Francis while you're at it, that'll bring the... It's someone taking a piss, isn't it? I'd love to be a witch doctor, it'd be fucking great.
But everyone would be scared of you.
Well, everyone, well, not no scared of me scared now because I'm small and annoying. But going back to the title...
Hang on, you're taking the piss out of me and my pink finger. Have you seen Jerome's lighter?
They can't see it.
Oh my god!
Let's describe we'll have to put that on the picture.
It's got a teddy bear on it, holding a love heart that just says love on it.
I think that's an excellent message to send out to the listeners.
It's like a Valentine's Day, really.
Yeah.
That was my only Valentine's gift.
From the newsagent.
So you bought it for yourself?
Yes.
It's from his boyfriend.
Yeah. But going back, because we were talking about Liverpool, going back, obviously the massive game at the weekend with Chelsea and Mourinho again pulling off a result in a massive.
Chelsea.
Oh, you hate them or love them? I'm happy because I don't want Liverpool to win the title. That's personally,
Chelsea played a perfect game.
They played it brilliantly, yeah.
Okay. Absolute perfect game.
And there are some fantastic gifts of Steven Gerrard slipping over the trophy escaping from him. Yes. Brilliant.
But then again,
I tell you what, it must be weird to know that either way, on Sunday the 11th of May, you're going to be crying either with happiness or sadness, because that is not just Steven Gerrard, but probably most Liverpool fans.
But you say you played the perfect game. If Gerrard hadn't have slipped at that precise moment, then. Which was obviously a sort of a freak goal in a way.
The second goal was mad as well.
Because they had to try and push for an equaliser.
So the only reason they lost doesn't really matter.
So I think it's kind of, you say they played, I think they got really fucking lucky.
Yeah. No, they got lucky so in the first lucky. Half. It made Mourinho's team talk fucking easy at half time. Who's to say that Chelsea wouldn't have come out and maybe tried to snatch a goal?
Because it's Chelsea!
And
you don't win games
they did
without
it at City,
goals,
though, didn't they?
They did it at City.
And to be honest, you need luck in the title race. Look at Liverpool against Norwich last weekend. Two of their goals were deflected. You need that luck at this time of season.
Are you going to
do their goals their own goals?
Not against Norwich, no. Raheem Sterling, both his goals were deflected.
How good was Kallas? I mean, so that's his first Premiership game.
Yeah, he looked good.
I thought he had a fantastic game. He did look good.
And you create this look by pressuring people. Barr was running behind. Gerrard was, to an extent,
Ashley
under
Cole
pressure.
Ashley Cole showed everyone that you don't need to play 40 games in a Premiership season to be match fit and ready for a World Cup. I'm not saying he should be going.
And I tell you what,
he's as good as anyone in that position in the world.
Yeah. I tell you what, unlike certain people around this table who've disappointed me by shaving their beards, Chris, his was
beard.
Fucking
good
fantastic.
Beard.
Look at that. That's
oh, bad. No, we're talking of beards. What was his name? Who's the geezer who...
Clayton for Huddersfield.
That
was amazing. I tell you what, he's a good-looking fella.
That was beard porn right there. I mean, that was absolutely outstanding.
I was very jealous of
I bet you were. Yeah. Oh, what a beard.
I mean, look, I,
I get bored of
talking real, about beards.
I get bored of talking about football. What I'm interested in is what do we think about Mourinho's strict adoption of the Gillette?
He loves the
Gillette. I don't know whether you know. There's a lot of Gillettes popping up. Yeah. And Mourinho,
I believe. Sorry to translate. I believe it's a Gillette.
You can tell you with the southerners now, can't you?
Gillette.
But no, was it Gary Monk who originally introduced it, and then Tim
Barry Ferguson's rocking it, and then Barry Ferguson, Blackpool's a few knocking about.
Monk's a bit more of an assassin though.
Barry Fry's got one while he's going down the pubs of Peterborough.
He's an absolute refusal.
Sigh Head just a little.
Wear a jacket with sleeves.
He did, didn't he?
So I had.
See, I just associate with going to a university full of posh people.
Not for a while.
Fond of a Gillette.
I'm not. I don't hate a Gillette.
I always. I was doing the line from Back to the Future, where he's wearing, why are you wearing a life preserver?
Lads, can we talk about the game tonight? Massive game.
Absolutely.
Chelsea. You know, we're talking about Chelsea. They're
going to do it, aren't they?
They are going to do it.
But the favourites have to be Madrid, simply because they kept a clean sheet at home. And one goal means Chelsea need two, and they don't have a great record of scoring.
3-1 to Atletico tonight, I fancy.
I just want an early Atletico goal. Just an early, because that'll really make a game of it. Chelsea will have to attack.
Can I ask everyone's advice? I have a personal dilemma about the game tonight. Everyone likes a football accumulator, right?
Yeah, go on.
So I stuck an accumulator. It was my last bet of the season. I had £3 in my Betfair account on Monday, and I put a bet on six game bet. Arsenal to beat Newcastle. Okay, that happened.
Given.
Okay, then I had
Shea.
Madrid away at Munich. That one happened. I had Wigan away at Birmingham.
That one happened.
And then I had
size of Wigan fan.
Living the dream, back in the playoffs.
Then we had Sheffield United equalising to make it a draw last night, and a 0-0 draw with Crawley and who was it? Carlisle. So that's five games.
So go on.
All came in tonight.
So what are you sitting on at the minute? What are you sitting tonight? On at three
points? Right, so at the moment I could push a button on cashing out.
Go on, what's your cash out?
It's £330.
Against?
If Chelsea win at home in 90 minutes tonight, 921.
Oh, you sexy bastard. You sexy bastard. Go for it. Just go for it. Do it.
Take your money and run.
Do it.
What would you do? Guys, I mean, everyone likes an
accumulator. Balls out.
What do I do?
Right, so just go around the table, either stick or twist. Right, so I'm twist.
Cash out, 100%.
Yeah. No, sorry, stick.
Stick.
No,
stick.
You'd stick.
I'm stick.
To cash out, take the money.
We'll go to the audience. The audience says, gamble!
lower!
Go for it. Balls out, come on.
I have to say, if it was me doing
with a clenched fist.
If it was me doing it, I'd twist, but I'm telling you, because I just know I'd get excited and go, fuck it, I'm going to do it.
And this time, they'd go, in a quiz show.
Is there a chance?
Well, we've had a really good day.
You can cash out in play.
So half time, if it's 0-0 half time, it might sneak up to 500.
No, it'll go down. It'll probably go down the longer the chance.
Andy, you've won the weekend trip to Aberdeen. You've won the washer dryer and the carriage clock.
I want
six
the speedboat.
VHS.
I want the speedboat.
I came in for the speedboat. I'm going to gamble for the speedboat.
Well, anyway.
Don't go for the soda stream, right, mate.
I'll tell you what, anyone listening, anyone got money on the game tonight? If anyone wants to tweet in with some advice.
This show's probably going to go live during the game, so it'll be a bit too late.
Do you know what? I fancy Mourinho on one-on-one games.
I do.
It's a one-on-one game.
Yeah.
I fancy Mourinho. I fancy Chelsea tonight. If you've got a top Chelsea, who will they play up top?
Torres.
Torres, probably, yeah. Torres against his former club. Adds a bit of poetry to it. Yeah,
they love that kind of cliche.
But he has been shit.
He has been, but...
So anyway, I'll let everyone know what I do next week.
Well,
maybe I'll tweet a little bit.
If that's not another reason to tune in next week, I don't know what is.
I'll tell you what, I reckon we can do at least 100 quid of that next week if he wins it. Yeah. Andy's buying the drinks.
I don't think so.
Andy's buying the drinks.
No, I've got a little boy to look after. Me.
All right, your boy's buying the drinks.
I've got another option here. Who said gamble here? Quick one.
I said
gamble. Yeah. Me and you. Anyone else?
No.
Just me and you.
Yeah.
150 quid each, we'll buy a bet off him.
If I wasn't getting married, I would, but I can't
Nick
afford it.
You're throwing the golden down.
I can't afford it.
Yo.
I'm getting married this summer. I wish I could.
Spread the bet, no?
No fucking chance.
I tried for you there, mate. I tried.
Do
you know what? I'll probably end up cashing out.
Yeah.
So that's what
I'm thinking. It's a sensible way.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's enough about that.
It's not
yeah. Barcelona at the weekend. I thought we'd have a little just unbelievable comeback from two goals down. I think I've been the laziest / most happy I've ever been on Sunday, this past Sunday gone. I sat in my pants on my couch from midday on my own till 10 o'clock in the evening watching 5 games back to back, 10 hours straight of football. Yeah, I sat and watched.
Wow, well,
it was done. I mean, I'm impressed. That's really disappointing in myself at the same
time. What's the food situation throughout the day?
I was constant
beverage and food consumption.
I ran out of cider.
You were drinking.
I had a couple of cans, I made myself an epic manwich between the second and third. No, gluten-free, can't do that.
So can you imagine you eating a co-op trifle? sitting cross-legged on the floor.
Spoon, just using his hands.
using a wooden spoon or a playing card or some kind of eating.
I remember realising I needed to get my life together at university when I was eating Rice Krispies out of a pan with a wooden spoon.
Oh, man.
It's quite a handy way to hold it.
Does silverware for 10 hours of football?
I mean, I was tempted to go for the onesie, but I didn't.
Were you signing on your own?
It was the PJs and
PJs all day.
PJs and football top.
Were you alone?
Yes.
For this? Did you use the halftime break for other entertainments?
I won between each match nearly.
Fantastic.
Did you catch yourself at any point with that pink thing
on your hand?
Don't need it.
You don't need the little finger.
Have you not got an attachment you could add on there?
Some sort of vibrating attachment.
a vibrating cast.
I'd like to know.
Yeah, we'll stop talking about time.
One last thing about it. When they were putting on your finger, did you not say, do you not have a different colour?
No, I said...
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, I said,
I can have pink, otherwise I'm going to be walking out of here without one.
But going back to Barcelona, we must say awful news on Friday about Tito Villanova passed away. I mean, how old was he?
45.
There's no age.
It was very sad. And there was, I think I retweeted it from the podcast. Someone tweeted that shot of Bayern scoring a late winner, 3-2, and Pep Guardiola was just sat there with his head in his hand, just staring into space.
Yeah.
And it was just like you could see. It was really. It was a nice tribute to him, and you saw how much it meant to the players.
Really heartfelt.
And at 2-0 down, Barcelona looked dead and buried. Out of the league. Was it Sevilla they're playing?
Villarreal.
Sevilla played the game before. But then to come back to 3-2, you saw how much it meant for the players. And the other sad note, obviously, is Dani Alves.
Handled
absolutely brilliant. Not only eating the banana, obviously, that was thrown to him, then quoting afterwards saying, I don't know who it was, but thanks for whoever threw the banana. It gave me the energy and the potassium for those two crosses that sparked the comeback.
That's the only thing you can say in that situation.
Literally, yeah. I think he handled it really, really well. I heard there was pictures of a load of footballers and stuff with bananas as well. Yeah.
Including Suarez.
Maybe he should say that.
Not like Rihanna would pose with a banana, I hope. Are we talking about...
It was just Neymar, Sergio Aguero
and Marta, the Brazilian women's footballer.
Dembele and Chadley did it as well.
Louise, Willian and Oscar.
I mean, it'll be another of those iconic moments, hopefully.
So.
I mean, remember the John Barnes image, that famous picture image of John Barnes back-heeling
the banana.
It's
not the first time they've done it, is it?
Yeah. Do you know, and he came out of it with such dignity. I mean, obviously, he's gone to rack and ruin, but...
Did you see the video that went viral of him in Dubai? He's on holiday in Dubai, and someone goes, "Barnes, you couldn't just do us that sort of to wrap the song, could you?" Went, "Do you still know it?"
Well,
of course, I still know it. and he did the rap.
I wear 48-inch trousers?
Brilliant though. Like, go on, Barnsley. But yeah, no, you're right. It was big, and it's
a big moment. You know, that's similar to the. It was like he played at at Portsmouth, he's gone to AC Milan and walked off during a friendly.
Montari, you know, and it's that sort of thing.
Well, Jay, you posted something interesting about this, the NBA, wasn't it? Go on, dive in.
Basically, the NBA owner of the LA Clippers basically had a conversation with his girlfriend, who basically set him up, actually.
Bitch.
It's being recorded. She was recording.
Yeah, she was recording a conversation. Yeah. She had a picture on Instagram. She is, I must add, she is actually mixed race as well. She had a picture on Instagram of her and Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson goes to a lot of LA Clippers games. Her boyfriend didn't like it and said basically you shouldn't be associating yourself with black people.
Whoa.
Bearing in mind, most of his team's black.
Yeah, most of the NBA.
Is black.
Yeah.
Most of the NBA is black. He's the longest serving owner in the NBA.
Yeah.
He's actually, obviously the conversation got out, went viral, everyone heard about it, and he's been banned for life. Can't own another NBA.
Good.
Banned for life.
Fine. So is he fined $2.5 million?
£1.5 million.
$2.5 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So big. And this happened at the weekend, and he's been banned already.
Yeah.
So
that's a big fine.
Yeah. So yeah.
You've got to set that precedent if you can't have.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Stand it out immediately.
How often are you fed up for seeing crappy 20 grand fines? One and a half million.
My point was basically like UEFA and FIFA should take note. Like all these little 20 grand fines for massive clubs, nothing.
Yeah, for the clubs, like individuals that couldn't afford that sort of money. This guy, obviously,
he's a billionaire, so he's probably nothing to him, but still, it's a massive fine.
It doesn't matter whether you can afford it or not.
It's not the fine. It's not the fine for me. It's not the fine at all. It's the fact he's banned for life from the sport.
Forget the fine. It's
all relative.
It's interesting because Villarreal have banned that fan for life who threw the banana.
100%.
So obviously,
he's been arrested as well now.
But I'll tell you what.
Lunacy, though, in a sport that is so
diverse.
Well,
in a country.
I tell you, want to be really good. An all white NBA team, they'd be a success.
Yeah, exactly.
It was
white men can't jump.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah. And basically, he was just saying how he feeds them and how he clothes them. And
I think it's the other way around.
Where did he think he is?
The 1800s in Louisiana.
Bear in mind, this guy is Jewish as well, so I don't know.
They know nothing about racism, obviously. I mean, come on, just fucking be don't be an idiot.
So yeah, he's been banned, and I was just saying, like, football should take similar step.
Well, speaking of crappy fines, City and Paris Saint-Germain are getting fined for financial fair play. Nice to know how toothless UEFA are.
Yeah, fucking hell.
They're two of 20 teams that have been done. None of the others have been revealed, so I'm assuming they are smaller clubs across Europe that work on small budgets, but apparently all it's going to be this year is fines or settlements that are agreed with the clubs. So basically, they brought in all this bluster about financial fair play, and they're just going to be like
letting people buy it out.
Have
they disclosed how much the fines are?
No, not yet. It's been decided over the next few days.
It'll be fuck all. And the problem is, it's the same with
couple of million.
The financial fair play rule is not perfect, because I do think it's quite unfair on clubs that do want to aspire to grow it. Your Man United's, Liverpool's, Arsenal, your Barcelona's, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich's.
It all starts somewhere, doesn't it?
But if you're going to bring it in,
it's the same as Barcelona's transfer ban. It's now been lifted.
Yeah.
It's been lifted.
It's been suspended.
But the chances are, like, these sort of things that happen, they put these, you know, these rules
in place. That was always
going to
happen with Barcelona.
No,
Barcelona are always going to appeal, like Chelsea did the other year. They got it for buying Gael Kakuta.
What's the actual ruling on the Barcelona? Why were Barcelona
touting underage players?
Yeah, they've been bringing in underage players from abroad when you're not allowed to. There are rules and not compensating the clubs properly.
So because they have challenged it, they're allowed to sign players in the period that they So if you challenge it at the right time, it means that you can sign players in a transfer.
Well, they can buy players, therefore, this summer, so they could easily go out and spend 50 million, 100 million,
300
on bringing
million.
In three or four youngish
we'll
players.
Double your transfer budget this season.
And they're not really going to lose anyone apart from Victor Valdez. And there was talk even of holding on to him. Now,
Fabregas might go.
Well, they're bringing in I'd be surprised if he does.
Fans are on his back, though, aren't they?
Well...
No, I mean, genuinely, I think there's a lot of interest to bring Fabregas back to the Premiership. He's a fantastic player, and it doesn't look like he's in massive favour at
I'm interested to know from Chris there, other than the obvious of players not wanting to move out of the Champions League, I mean, there's a lot of talk. It's bollocks this time of season. People saying Cavani's willing to spend a year out the Champions League with United.
Well, let's see what happens.
Yeah, bollocks. No. But why do you think Fabregas won't go to United? Just is it that do you think he's got Arsenal?
He's always been.
Don't cover your mouth, you muppet. It's a podcast. People need to hear you speak.
He loves the club. He loves Arsenal. I think if he got first refusal on him, and I think if he was going to come back to the Premiership, he'd come back to Arsenal.
I think he goes to United,
who aren't in the Champions League.
I think he goes to United.
But do you think he would? Bearing in mind, he'd get more. We're fine with Tom Cleverley. Do you think, though, the amount of money he'd be offered at United, the fact that maybe long term the prospects could be better because there's still the infrastructure at United?
I think United.
I think we could rival anything United have to offer.
But I'm not sure you cannot, especially with the uncertainty around Wenger. I mean, Wenger, if you don't win the FA Cup, there's every chance Wenger might move upstairs or go altogether.
I think Fabregas is a mercenary like any other top-flight footballer. And, you know, or I was talking about Suarez, you know, enjoying, you know, idolisation at Liverpool. But Fabregas was lucky because Barcelona were the club that he was at when he was a junior. So it was easy for him to say that he'd always loved to play for Barcelona. And they're the only club really that were going to take him from Arsenal. I don't think he'd go back to Arsenal over another club in the Premiership.
I think maybe, all things considered, if Arsenal were in the position maybe Liverpool or City or Chelsea are at the moment, I think he probably would go back there as a
speculation.
Player.
All speculation.
It's all speculation. Yeah. I mean, it is all rumour in here.
All speculation.
So.
They're going to win a cup at Wigan one last year. I mean, you know what I mean?
Tell you what's not speculation. Orlando Engelaar winning goal of the season and the A-League.
Very much deserved, wasn't it?
Oh, you wouldn't have seen this because you're not a big fan of the A-League.
What's the deal?
Well inside his own half. Spanked it in from
same weekend as Wayne Rooney scored his as well. Yeah.
I've seen John Joe Shelby as well.
Oh, actually, no, we're talking about that.
Yeah.
John Joe Shelby with a million miles.
Wow. 100 million.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here because I do think Shelby's.
You're not playing devil's advocate.
No, I do think Shelby's is probably better in terms of technique.
Did you
say something? Expected, you know. Well, I'm saying, no, Andy said it earlier.
Is that NBA franchise coming along?
Not bad.
The LA franchise.
Costs me a lot of money.
The one thing I will say is I think Shelby's was more of a hit and hope.
No.
The technique was real.
No.
Let me finish. I'm saying I'm playing devil's advocate and I agree Shelby's was better. The one thing I will say, if the Southerners will be quiet, the Northerners are being respectful.
No, they're not. We're all shouting at you.
No, he's got his hand in your pocket.
Lower the tone.
Go on.
Homophobic as well. Simply because if you watch the replays, he doesn't look up. It drops to him and he smashes it. Rooney looked up.
Which makes it even better.
He knows where the goal is.
In that sense, it makes it better. But at the same sense, it was a hit and hope. That's what I mean by a hit and hope. He hit it thinking there's an off chance, whereas Rooney, there was the vision there. He watched it. I do think Shelby was better. Technique was stunning. The way it bounced off, the speed,
to take it on his chest.
The way he hit it, and Rooney was.
Someone said it was Guzan was out of position. Okay, the way that ball moved.
You're not expecting
that. I think it was poor from Brad Guzan as well.
It's not the key.
It ended up
ball.
On the top corner.
It's yeah.
Oh, if he'd been on his goal line, I think he struggled to save it. What I did find interesting,
and I hope you agree with these, is most of the pundits seem to be saying that Rooney's goal was better as well. Robbie Savage, Kevin Kilbane, a few of them I was reading, I disagree with.
Really care for the opinion of members.
Robbie Savage in his disguise playing for his hometown team.
But to be honest, isn't that just the same as us judging whether it's better? In a better position than us.
To play for Man United.
Robbie Savage is a cunt.
Oh, there's this week's C-bomb.
Drop the C-bomb.
But He played non-league football, didn't he, this week, in a beard?
Yeah, in disguise. It was the worst disguise I've ever seen.
And they lost.
He's got...
What he looked like? He looked like David Guest.
he did not look well.
You'd expect a non-league team, like an unprofessional team, to actually probably win a game if you got Robbie Savage in midfield.
Yeah. He came on at half-time, though, 3-0 down.
He's got a free kick, apparently. He's got a reminder.
Yeah, it was a brilliant goal. Apparently, John Joe Shelby said it wasn't as good as one away Rooney's free kick. What the fuck does he know?
Speaking of non-league, did you see, I think it was my favourite tweet last week. Ashington AFC, playing the Northern League Division 1, were taking on Crook Town at Portland Park in Northumberland.
Big game.
Massive game. When out of the one of the side gates, horse. Just trots into the ground. A horse just trots into the ground and stands as a spectator.
Did he take a shit?
No, but literally just trotted in and just stood there as if he was like next to the spectators watching the game. As in, it wasn't, you know, it didn't sort of just come in and trot around a bit. Actually walked up to the little barrier.
Was it a saddled horse? It was just a wild horse, just walking it in. Street roaming horse.
Was he wearing a replica shirt?
Literally, just sat there. He's watching the game. He's enjoying himself, and they asked him to leave. Fucking out of order.
Rude Van Nistelrooy doing some scouting.
They ushered him out.
You haven't got a ticket.
Speaking of very lower level games, and I believe this was mentioned last week, I asked for it to be mentioned, we were the 400th followers on Twitter of a Sunday league team called Embo AFC from the Highland Scotland. That's fine. I got the first one.
I imagine they
were playing in the Mackay Cup final. Massive game. They were playing against Helmsdale.
How did they get on?
Well, I'm going to give you, there's a match review on Facebook. It started badly in the first minute. Helmsdale took the lead 1-0.
First minute.
It's a long way back from there, isn't it?
Embo were rocked, but luckily Stephen Muir in goal pulled off a few great saves.
Good lad.
And Embo were able to get a goal back in the 17th minute.
Oh, typical Muro.
Yeah.
Kevin Lewis with what I'm going to guess is a trademark free kick.
He's
banging him in week in, week out, mate.
Straight out of the top draw.
You would think that for the scrapbook. A few of these lads are listening, so sorry, we're not taking it.
We're completely taking the piss.
Now, you'd think the tide would be... I'm in Glasgow next week. If they get the train and it takes about 4 hours from the Highlands down there, I'm in trouble. You'd think that would turn the tide, but no. Helmsdale came back. And it says in the match review that also in the 17th minute, but I think it was later in the match, they took the lead again, 2-1. Now, Stephen
Muir continues.
He's got a ring to it, isn't
it? I'm guessing he was man of the match. But then, wait, just before half-time, Embo made it 2-2. 45th minute, Captain Craig J. Mackay, as his faithful name is.
Captain
Marvel, he's always there. He was in the right place at the right time to finish Dave Mackay's free kick.
Dave Mackay.
Fletcher.
I've got the Coral Bill Mackay song in my head, but Dave Mackay replacing it. So half time, 2-2. Now coming back into it, it's a game of two halves, they say. And you know it because less than a minute after the restart, Garrick Taylor made a driving run and hit a shot that went under the Helmsdale goalkeeper.
Oh, big G.
3-2. Unfortunately, Helmsdale came back again. 3-0.
What a roller coaster this game
was. Corner headed into the net. It was an even affair the second half. Jacob Sayers was unlucky to see his Wellick strike turned around the post. Lucas Sayers, don't know if they're related or not.
Come on, Mike, get to the money shot.
He scored the winning penalty in the semi-final, but he hit an overhead kick that went over the bar.
Flamboyant. He's always doing things like that.
And now we're
probably
into extra time.
Extra time. All right, wrap this up quicker.
Tell you what, Embo FC were on the rise. In the 96th minute, Garrick Taylor and Ross... No, mentioned him previously, Stone. That's his surname, his first name.
No, he's Brazilian.
Maybe he's Brazilian. Okay.
He's definitely a ringer. He's a ringer. They don't even know his surname.
Garrick Taylor and the Brazilian, Ross, linked up, and Garrick hit a great shot from outside the post that... outside the box that was curling away from the goalkeeper and went in off the post. 4-3 to Embo.
Embo!
Full time?
I don't think that's it.
Not full time. Because in the 109th minute, Garrick Taylor hit a corner, Jamie Shepherd had it in, 5-3, Mackay Cup comes home to Embo AFC. And they now hold both of the North West Coast knockout trophies because they won the Inclampy Cup back in September. Double winners. Fair enough.
I thought you said the Cranky Cup. Awarded by the Crankies.
What happened with Crankies? Did he see her being a schoolboy first and go, that's who I want to marry?
Yeah.
Were they married? Because they're married, right?
Yeah. That'd be uncannily coincidental to my mum and dad.
They did a little bit of role play, dress up.
Dress up as a little boy.
Role play.
Yeah. The cheeky schoolboy. It's horrible to think about, Nick.
Nature or nature.
I mean, that would
be too sexy.
Just too sexy.
What else?
Have we got anything more to wrap up?
What about the Football League?
I've got something for the Football League. Cheltenham. Cheltenham goalkeeper. Was quoted saying this, which I think is actually disgraceful. Professional footballers is disgusting. Because Mark Yates has been given a bit of stick, I think, for his performances. The boss. And apparently two players actually told the boss that they basically hadn't been trying. So this is a quote from Scott Brown.
So
in training on Friday, the manager went around and asked the players if they were trying. Like actually, and two of them just said no. I said, just don't even like give a shit. And he was saying, like, you know, he could bring his mate bring my mate from the pub along, who's 15 or 16 stone, and he'd run around and try his best. They said it's not the manager or the assistant manager's fault. There's no excuse for coming to train today and not looking to improve. Like, I think it's like the fact that you're playing for a professional football club and you're openly admitting to the gaffer that you don't, say, you don't give a shit.
Right. I was speaking to a lad who played at Grimsby a few years ago, and. He was, because I said to him about this kind of, lost the dressing room cliche, and I was like, I don't know whether it exists. I think it's bullshit. I think, you know. And he said, have you any experience of it? And he said, well, he used to play for Bolton as well. And he said, when I was at Grimsby,
I can think of one player who's played for both clubs, but I can't remember his name.
Gary Hench,
it wasn't him.
And he was anyway. So he was saying about. I said, does this exist? Is it a real life phenomenon? And he basically relayed a story about how some senior professionals got together. He said, right, well, the manager will pick the team, we'll go out, but we'll play how we want to play. And they played it for two games and then went back to the chairman afterwards and said, this is what we've done.
Really?
And that is like a super extreme.
And they won
case.
The games?
I don't know.
They were Grimsby, so they probably lost. Yeah.
Drew one, lost one, I would have thought. They've basically gone back and said, he's no control over us.
Yeah, but fair enough. But if you're showing that you're not doing a better job than what you managed,
I think the point is that
it was just the point that it's just trying to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But that's sort of like, I was chatting to one of my other mates as well about it, like the insight into football clubs and stuff like that, and the behind the scenes stuff that you don't know. So my old man's got quite a few connections to Brighton and stuff. He does he's still Charlie Oakway's accountant, which is quite funny.
Must be quite busy.
He was chatting to him. My old man was chatting to an ex-professional who is very good mates with Les Ferdinand. Still plays golf with Les Ferdinand.
Sir Les,
used to play with Sir Les. I'm not sure. I can't remember where he is.
Where did he get
annoyed? Everyone
calls him Sir Les.
And
let him near the Blue Peter Garden.
My old man asked him about.
I think he got knighted the same week as Cyril Smith, I think.
So he was playing golf with this guy that my old man knows was playing golf with his mate Les Ferdinand, and asked him specifically about Andros Townsend.
All right,
because he had a phenomenal start to the season playing for England.
Who potentially missing the World Cup due to injury.
Yes. He's not going to play.
No, but so obviously, he just stopped playing, didn't he? Yes, he had some injury problems, but he just stopped playing, and basically. Les Ferdinand turned around to him and said, because he's a fucking mouthy, cheeky git that doesn't put the effort in. Now, I would never, ever have thought that from someone like Andros Townsend, a young English winner. Apparently, when he's on the bench, if he's not playing, he's sat there going, in the gaffer's ear, as I do, because I'm a cheeky little shit, rarely I'm on the bench, but if I am, to the manager, he's sitting there going, apparently he does the same, he goes, can I come on yet? Am I coming on yet? Go on, gaffer, put me on. Oh, I'll do better than that. Go on, gaffer, stick me on.
Like, you'd expect that from someone like of a level you're playing, not professional.
This is what I mean. Apparently, like, he's got a terrible, and that is one of the reasons. Obviously, Sherwood's come out and said numerous times that he won't play anyone if he doesn't think they're putting the effort in training and doesn't think they're performing enough. But from the one of the horse's mouths. Apparently, that is he's got a real attitude problem.
Can I just ask?
I'd rather that though than someone who sat on the bench week
and
week.
And he's eating Winston Bogart.
He's still on the bench at Chelsea.
But I think it's sort of the more the arrogance and the.
Can I just ask though? Is Les Ferdinand still coach at Tottenham?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
potentially a great exclusive for anyone listening to this from a newspaper.
Where do we work?
No one's gonna. It's all
allegedly.
Yeah. Speculation.
Yeah, all speculation.
Wait, hold on. If we have any newspapers listening, please don't publish that, because we know if you speak to them nicely and ask nicely, they won't publish it. They're fair enough. Yeah, actually, we work for them.
I've got a link on people Bollocks. Who sit on the bench. Mark Schwarzer, dreamland, absolute dreamland.
Where Cech's back in training,
and everyone questioned. Yeah, everyone questioned.
After a dislocated shoulder.
No, but this is all bullshit, isn't it? But everyone why Schwarzer chose to move to Chelsea, and you know, he always knew that there was an injury to Cech away from him playing in the first team. And actually, he's come in, he's done remarkably well, hasn't he?
He did.
He's a great goalkeeper.
There was a couple of little wobbles when he went to pick it up and he sort of fumbled it a bit, but in general.
He's 40 years old.
Yeah. That was when he came on the bench.
Didn't have his glasses on.
When he's been in the starting 11, he's done absolutely
brilliant. He was too busy worrying about his Candy Crush game that he'd been playing on the bench all season.
He's in a semi final tonight and could possibly be in a Champions League final.
Speaking of Chelsea, though, or ex Chelsea, shall we say? I don't think it got spoken about last week. Pets. Big fan of pets. Like dogs. Like dogs myself.
Yeah. Here we go.
I just thought it was definitely worth. Hello. Should have done that. I can't believe. Oh, sorry. Well played.
I think we need the story now.
Obviously, everyone saw that Jeremy Clarkson was in trouble last week for naming his little black. West Island Terrier, was Yorkshire Terrier?
Terrier.
It was a dog. Didier Dogba. Which I think is an absolutely magnificent name for his little dog.
But there's finding faults, that's fine.
It is nitpicking.
It's whether or not he's called it that because it's black or not. And I think because Jeremy Clarkson is. Let's say he skirts on the right wing side of things. He's a bit of an Andre Kinchelski rather than Elite Sharp.
He's been done before as well.
When this came out, the girl I work with.
He's not that kind of player, is he?
No, he's not that kind of player. The girl, Stevie, who works for me, you guys know her, when that story came out on the mail, she went, oh shit. I went, what? She went, got a little black dog called Didier as well, who she named after Didier Drogba. They're massive Chelsea fans, apparently.
She's massive Chelsea fans.
She did.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. The problem was, obviously, Clarkson is an idiot and got done for being racist before. So, what do you fucking expect, Clarkson?
Yeah.
You dick.
I mean, yeah. But tell it. Leave it out.
Oh, we're
so
on the line 1 week. Move on swiftly because the lads have got to go quickly.
No, we're all right.
Mike wants a pint.
No, I just want to mention the Football League because we haven't really.
This afternoon.
Oh, this is great.
For fuck's sake.
The meeting's cancelled, guys. Don't worry about it. Just to mention the Football League, a couple of things there. Kevin Phillips, the legend that is
Lads, clap him off.
Retiring.
Clap him off.
I mean,
successful everyone.
Yeah.
Was it 99-2000
top scorer in Europe as well.
Yeah.
He never scored for England. He had seven caps for England, eight caps for England. I saw him play against Sweden where he won a penalty and Beckham took it.
That boy could finish, couldn't he?
Yeah, but 30 goals that season. Did great at West Brom, did great at Palace, did great at Leicester, not so great at Aston Villa.
So speaking of his old club Sunderland though, fuck me, what a run they're on, and to hump bloody...
Well, a few weeks ago we had them as dead and buried and Fulham surviving. Now it's
the other way around, isn't it?
Fulham have fucked that up there, letting away that 2-goal lead against Tull.
And we sure don't think Norwich are going to get out of it, do we?
Speaking of big teams that fuck Birmingham.
Yeah.
The championship.
Now they're relying.
I mean, they've got an easy result to the weekend.
Yeah, Bolton could send them down. Yeah.
When they go to the Macron.
It's not a Macron yet, young man. The Macron. So, they could very much relegate them.
Which is mental, relying on other results anyway. Getting relegated to League One.
Although they were down there in 94-95, I remember, because I had an Amiga game called Man United the Double, and they were far and away the best team in that division. We always used to play as them. Ricky Otto was amazing.
Ricky Otto. Slippery character.
Hey, I tell you what.
Very good.
I like that.
Very good.
There's something a bit fishy
about it. But it just shows the decline of the Midlands clubs as well.
But Coventry are down there. Yeah. Leicester have been down there.
Villa are fighting for it.
Yeah.
Coventry is still down there.
Well, it's a similar case to Yorkshire as well. I mean, with the exception of Hull, who I wouldn't really count as Yorkshire.
Sheffield United languishing in League One.
Sheffield United down there. Wednesday have had a bad 10-15 years. Leeds have had a bad 10 years.
We all know Leeds are a massive club.
Just a quick question, right? I was debating this in the office yesterday. So let's say on the last day of the Premier League, both Chelsea, Man City and Liverpool could all potentially win the title, right? Yeah. If it's getting to that situation, bear in mind, Chelsea will be in Cardiff, Man City are in Manchester, Liverpool are in Liverpool, right? Where do they put the where do they keep
what
the
they
Premier
will
League
do,
trophy?
And I know this from experience of supporting a club
that's
dynamo, ever had a chance.
Just appear at that club.
I'll tell you what they will do. They have the real Premier League trophy at the club that is top of the league that day.
And then replicas.
And then they will have replicas. Yeah, yeah. Now, what they might do, because God knows how many replicas they've got, one assumes they could just get another one knocked up out of tin. What they might do is helicopter it between the not the Emirates,
Manchester and Liverpool,
and
because obviously that's the two will be the two more likely. But imagine someone on a helicopter.
The one thing I really hope, because obviously if you remember the '80s, Kevin Keegan leaving Newcastle in a helicopter. I really hope, given that he was City manager and a Liverpool legend, that he's the one that takes it by helicopter between either of those clubs should they win it.
Onto the middle, onto the centre.
Bring him out, Kevin.
No,
give him
away. Bring Kev out.
Oh, you got to bring Keggy out.
Leave him in the shadows.
Oh, you can't.
Leave him in the shadows.
I would love it if they used him. Love it. But on that note,
can I just say props to Kevin Morales, who is the greatest hipster football player in the world.
Who?
That's Kevin Morales.
That's not Morales.
No, that's not him.
Morales.
Yes, magnificent.
When you first said, I thought you meant Kevin Moran from the 1980s United side of Blackburn Rovers.
Raul Morales, what an absolute lad! And look at his bird as well.
Slash bell.
He looks like he's about to tee off on footy golf.
Yeah.
I don't know what he looks like. He's ready for, but he looks like he's
pretty. Yeah.
Well, on that note, we'll put a picture up of that. We won't. We never do. We always say we're going to do things and we don't.
I do.
All right, you can put it up, Dan. Good work. And I'll tweet from the podcast account under my own alias.
Yeah, don't make me have a go at you again, Coxon.
Mate, my opinions are the podcast opinions.
No, they're
as far
fucking
as
up.
I'm
pissed up. Coxon was pissed last week.
When?
And started tweeting on a Thursday afternoon. Yeah. Started tweeting all this stuff on the podcast. I was like, it's not you.
Wait, I don't think I was pissed last Thursday.
Yes, you were. You were shit-faced.
No, was that Thursday?
You quite right.
You were shit-faced.
Yeah, I was, because we went to the pub after work. That was a good day. Anyway, on that note, you know the usual score. Football Pubcast online.
Come on, Athleti.com. Athleti.
At Football Pubcast. The next Empoli AFC game's on the 10th of May. Get yourself down there and have a good